Thank you, Sam. You know, at times every one of us face stressful moments in our life. We don't like to admit it, but stress is something that is common to every human being that has ever lived. Now, doctors tell you that there's good stress and that there is bad stress. Good stress says every day I will do the things that I need to do and I'm motivated by those things. And bad stress says, hey, I have to do certain things and I don't want to do them. And you feel under pressure to get them done. If you were to take a stress test tonight, would you find yourself abnormally stressed or not? If you were to be on a stress meter, would you find yourself relaxed, coping, anxious, or maybe even at the point of having what we call a panic attack? Well, what is stress anyway? Let me help you understand that a little bit better. Now, stress really is not really mentioned in the Bible, that particular word. But the word stress comes from the word anxiety, and the Bible says that we're not to be anxious in anything, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. Jesus would say to Martha one time that you're careful and you are troubled about many things. And if the truth were known tonight, probably the Lord Jesus Christ could look at us and say the same thing. But one thing that I have observed, and I've come to this conclusion over a number of years, that many of the things that we get stressed out about are trivial and mundane, and they're not really worth the stress and the anxiety that we put ourselves through in life. Now, stress is defined simply as a factor that creates a mental or an emotional or a physical strain in our life. It is a state of unresolved tension arising from pressures, from irritations, and the demands of life. Probably the latter really hits all of us. I was talking to our ladies' class the other day, and we were talking about the fact that we have so many time-saving devices in today's world, and yet people are more stressed out than ever, ever before. I read that not long ago there was a recent NBC, and it really came from Prevention Magazine, by the way, on holiday stress. And what it revealed was this, and I want you to think about it. 57% felt that they could not cope with the things that they're going to have to do during the holidays. How many of you could join them tonight in saying that? You have a lot of places to go, a lot of gifts to buy, a lot of things that you want to accomplish, a lot of cooking that you're going to do. 30% felt that Christmas was the most stressful time of the year. How many of you believe that? Anybody believe that or not? Some of you. 30% said that it was for them. 28% were stressed out over money issues during the holidays. People will go out and spend money they do not have to buy things they do not need to impress people that they do not like. 23% were so stressed that they could not even enjoy the holidays. I heard someone say the other day, I'll just be glad when all this is over. I hope you don't feel that way about it. You know, a lot of it is really how we perceive life and how we perceive the demands of life and the things that we are to accomplish. How many of you feel like you have ever been at a point where you were just about to explode? You probably have been there. Do you realize that there are some symptoms of stress overload? Now, I found these in a medical dictionary. Let me share this with you also because I'm going to tell you something. These things relate to our physical body, and your physical body is the temple of Almighty God. And we're to make sure that this temple is what it ought to be. Let me give you some symptoms, if you will, of stress that might be going on in your life. You have problems making decisions. It becomes extremely difficult for you to do that, whether they're major or whether they're minor decisions. Excessive daydreaming and fantasizing about wanting to get away from it all. The increased use of cigarettes and alcohol. And I certainly hope that's not your case. Increased use of tranquilizers, or what we call uppers, to keep us going. Excessive worrying about the things of life. Sudden outbursts of temper and hostility. Paranoid ideas and mistrust of your family and your friends. You are constantly suspicious of them. Frequent spells of brooding and feeling that you are inadequate. And then reversals in usual behavior. Now let me tell you some of the physical symptoms. Frequent headaches. Stiffness in the neck. Laura Lee was complaining about that this week. Stiffness in your shoulders, your jaw, your arms, your legs, your hands, your stomach, irregular heartbeats, getting dizzy and lightheaded, suffering from colds, flu, or hoarseness, indigestion, nausea, or discomfort of the stomach, difficulty, you fall, the inability to stay asleep, waking up feeling tired, cold hands, cold feet. Now I know what Audrey's problem is. Excessive perspiration. Anger or irritability. Now I know that sounds humorous in a way, but you know, when you really stop and think about it, these truly are signs that you are under stress. Well, you know, stress causes us to do a lot of things, and everybody feels that they have a solution to help you overcome your stress. Now, I'm not here to talk about it from a psychological standpoint or a medical standpoint. I want to help you understand biblically how we deal with stress. I know that everybody in the world has their own solution. Just like they have a solution for everything, and they want to find out how to analyze it and how to fix it. There was a local minister one time who was troubled by one of his members who was constantly dealing with all kinds of problems. And anyway, he came to him one day, and he asked him the question. He said, about drinking alcohol. And they happened to run into each other at the mall. And the drinker came up to the minister and asked, he said, "Preacher," he said, "what causes gout?" And the minister thought for a moment that this would be a good opportunity for him to admonish this man about his drinking. And so anyway, he looked at him very sternly and he says, "Well," he said, "I can tell you for sure it comes from drinking too much alcohol." And the man says, "Oh, I see." He said, "I was just wondering." He said, "I read in the paper today where the Pope and the President were both suffering from it." Everybody has their solution. Let's talk about some biblical solutions tonight to dealing with stress. Let me tell you, the first one is to armor your Christian attitude. You know, if you feel so pressured in life, and I'm telling you, it's a way of looking at what you have to deal with in life. Isn't it better to say, these are things that I have to get done and go on, instead of bemoaning the fact and wringing your hands and acting frustrated all the time about the things that God has called upon you to do, or even your superior has called upon you to do? It is better to arm your attitude with Christian principles. Book of Ephesians chapter 6 says that we're to put on the whole armor of God. Now, he talks about all these things that we're battling in life. But I'm telling you, every day when we get out of bed, we are going to be battling problems and anxiety. That's just, it's just true, folks. You're going to have to deal with it. And it is a matter of perception and how you deal with it as to whether or not you conquer it. You face it, you don't run from it, you hit it head on, and you say, hey, this is my plan to accomplish what I need to accomplish today, and I'm going to get it done. I'm not going to let anything thwart me from having the right attitude. You know, attitude, as you've often heard, determines your altitude. It determines whether or not you're going to heaven. Your attitude can keep you out of heaven. That's why the Bible speaks often about the way we think, about the things that we think on. You don't think on the negative things of life. You don't think on the bad things of life continually. Sure, they penetrate your mind from time to time. But you realize that life goes on and we have to have the right kind of attitude. And you know what? I have to work on adjusting mine every day. I'll be honest with you. Because there are so many things that happen in a day's time that could cause you to have a bad attitude. Someone could say something that would just literally turn you off or make you mad. When I first came to Palestine a number of years ago, there was a member in this congregation who had a place of business. And he told me about another Christian who was a member of the church. And he said, you know, he can just walk into my office and the way that he says good morning makes me mad. Maybe you've been around people like that. I don't know. But you know what I'm talking about. There are some people that just irritate you, you know. They're like that little grain of sand in the oyster that is really an irritant. And so we have to work on our attitude. And Paul says it best in the book of Philippians. He says that we're to think on things that are good, things that are wholesome, positive things. And let's develop the attitude of Jesus Christ. He says, let this mind, and what he's really talking about is the attitude of Jesus, isn't he? He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And so if you want to conquer your stress, develop the mindset and the attitude of Jesus Christ. Secondly, what can you do to overcome stress? We've talked about it here, what it is and how it affects us medically, physically, psychologically, emotionally. But secondly, learn to be silent. Learn to be quiet. You know, that's tough, isn't it? In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, however, the Bible says, listen to this, he says, study to be quiet. You know, you don't have to speak on every issue. Sometimes you might even be in a conversation with someone. You may not agree with them. Sometimes it's better to zip your lip. Sometimes it's just better not to offer your opinion about certain things that might prove to be very confrontational with other people. But it's hard for us not to speak. Someone said that we say things that we shouldn't say, and, you know, we just let them slide out. And we never even think about what we said. We might have irritated someone ourselves. We may have been the person that other people are trying to avoid. Study to be quiet and silent and just listen. Sometimes we get so stressed out. Let me tell you why that's true. Is because sometimes if we say things we ought not to say, then we get stressed out about what we said, and we go back and we say, well, I wish I had not said that. But you cannot recapture your words. And so if you said the wrong thing, it's going to be extremely difficult for you not to agonize over those words that you employed in that conversation. That's why Christ said, he said that we're going to be judged by our words. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Word. A word fitly spoken, Solomon said, is like pictures of gold and apples of gold and pictures of silver, rather. Be careful of your words. But number three, practice thankfulness. I want you to go back to what Paul says here. Be anxious in nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, Thanksgiving is over, and people probably will not even think about giving thanks unto God until next Thanksgiving. Some people, seriously. As a Christian, you are to be faithful, and you are to be thankful. And instead of even being caught up in work-related stress, and we all have it, I don't care. You know, sometimes people say, a person's job has no stress. I have people tell me that all the time. You know, you have a cush job. You don't have to deal with stress. Let me reassure you, that's not true. Have you ever tried to keep 350 people happy? We ought to thank the Lord for the reward of working. No matter how hard it may be, if you have a job, be thankful unto God that you are gainfully employed and that you can bodily move around. There are others who are bedfast who would delight in the same opportunity that you have. And so instead of focusing on your difficulties, think of your job and think of the opportunities that God places before you every day and be thankful and be grateful. I'm going to tell you something. It's one of the greatest stress relievers in the world. And that's why biblical writ teaches us to be thankful. Be thankful. You wouldn't worry about so many of the other things of the world if you were thankful for what you had. It is true. But many people never stop long enough to thank God. But then, number four, you remind yourself of truth. Remind yourself of what is true. You are God's child. That's true. And listen to what 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says. It says that we are to cast our care on Him, for He cares for us. I like that passage. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible, because I'm going to tell you something. There, every day I unload on God. I cast my cares on Him. I know I'm not big enough to carry Him, folks. I know I'm not big enough to deal with my stress issues without God's help. God doesn't always remove the stress issues, but I'm going to tell you something. He gives me a stronger determination to deal with what I have to deal with in life. And it becomes less stressful because I know that God is there. Have you ever thought about Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." You know what a yoke is? You ever seen a yoke of oxen? You know, you got two oxen and they're yoked together. Do you realize that every day as a Christian, we can be, don't have to be, don't, unless you choose not to be, but you can be yoked to Christ. And Christ is pulling over here just like you are. I see myself every day with Jesus right by my side, and we are yoked together. Too many people in this life are yoked to the wrong thing, and so therefore they are extremely stressed in life. They have great difficulty. The Bible says that we're not to be unequally yoked, because what happens is when you're pulling in one direction, someone else, even though they may be yoked to it, is pulling in another. It happens a lot of times in marriages. One cannot pull in the direction of God if they are married to someone who is not a Christian, who is pulling them back. And the same thing is true in life with just about anyone. You have to be going in the same direction. And when Christ says, "Put your neck in my yoke," He is helping us to be reminded of truth, and that is truth. And casting your cares on Him. That, to me, relieves stress. I'm yoked to Christ. But number five, Be an example to Christ. You know, there is nothing more humiliating than when we, those of us who claim to be Christians, when we don't act like Christians. And we become ashamed of ourselves, maybe our actions, maybe our inaction. And it stresses us out. We are so embarrassed sometimes by the way that we act in front of others. We should work to put on the attributes of patience in dealing with other people. Instead of being so stressed out, be patient. Be faithful. Be honest. Be submissive. And any hardship that really comes our way can be seen as a stepping stone to a greater relationship with God. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11, that we are to add unto our faith knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, brotherly kindness. Peter goes on to list a number of things here that will help us deal with stress. And when we are growing in Christ and we become that example of Jesus, we feel good about our lives. The thing that makes us feel bad is when we feel the guilt and the pressure of not being the right kind of example. And Jesus said in the book of Matthew 5 and verse 16 that we're to let our light shine before the world that they may see our good works and glorify God who is in heaven. And when we have done wrong, and when we have acted unkindly, or when we have spoken unkindly, then it puts us under stress. But then number 6, learn to trust God. We say we do, but do you really? You know, that's just such a trite statement, isn't it? For someone to make, trust God. Easy to say that, but difficult to accept it and to be genuine with it. As I mentioned this morning, we can be at peace with God as long as things are going well. But when we start having problems in our life, we're not interested in trusting someone we cannot see and we cannot touch and we cannot feel. We only see God in the abstract. And we reach out to Him as a last hope. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And don't lean to your own understanding. But in everything or in all of your ways, He says, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. To me, these are the essential things. I told you this morning I was going to give you 10. Audrey said, I thought you said we were going to have 10. I said, well, I didn't want to get stressed out. I wish I had time tonight. Our time's, I'm already past time, and you're probably getting stressed. I was in a gospel meeting one time, and I was preaching for this black congregation. And I had gone for some length of time, and it was really what I consider to be beyond time. And I started apologizing for it. And one dear black sister spoke up and said, that's all right, preach all night. Well, I wasn't so bold to do that, but anyway, and I won't be tonight. But I hope you get the point that I'm trying to make tonight. I believe there is a right way and a wrong way to deal with stress. And I think there is peace without pills. You know, we use all kinds of crutches, so to say, to deal with our problems in life instead of really leaning upon God and drawing strength from Him. I believe that God will get us through whatever we face in life, whatever the stress is, if we just lean upon Him. Sometimes it's best just to pause when you talk about trusting in God and say, God, help me to have the right attitude right now. And help me to deal with this in the way that You would want me to deal with it. Take a deep breath and just back away from it for a moment. You know, God tried every way in the world in the Old Testament. When ancient Israel was in the wilderness, and they wandered in the wilderness for over 40 years. And I'm going to tell you something. In nothing but stress. God had provided quail from heaven and manna from heaven every day. But that wasn't enough. And you know, the journey into the promised land that flowed with milk and honey was just a short distance. And they could have made it in days had they leaned upon God. But because they didn't, they spent 40 years out in the wilderness, God dealing with them day in and day out. And it got to the point that they were so stressful and so angry with God, and that's what stress will do for you. It'll cause you to launch out at other people with your anger. They said, "Our soul hates this light bread that you've given us from heaven." They said it was far better back in Egypt when we were under the taskmasters than it is under the leadership of Moses. Well, it wasn't really the leadership of Moses. It was the children of God trying to dictate where they wanted to go. I hope God will help us. I know He will help us if we allow Him to help us. You may be stressed out about something tonight. You know, one of the best things about the church family is that we can bring our concerns before each other. And when we have issues and problems that are going on in our life, I'm going to tell you something. There's no better place in the world to be than in the house of God among Christians. Sure, we're all frail. We all go through stress. We all have difficulty dealing with the issues of life. But the great support that we get is from one another who deal with it also and who have learned to deal with it and can help us to more adequately deal with our own. God waits upon you tonight. He's still trying to teach people to overcome their stress. If you feel perhaps that there's some issues in your life that you'd like to bring before the church family or that you'd like to bring before God, and you would like for those of us who are here tonight to pray to our Father in your behalf, then Sam has selected that song of encouragement, and that really is what it's all about. It's an invitation song, but it's also an opportunity to be encouraged. Let us stand and let us sing.